Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We have some guys that they care a lot. And when you have the care a lot, the word backed in and all that stuff like that, they could care less about the backed in comment or whatever that is. What they care about is that they understand that they earned it. They worked hard after someone the other day, there was a stat, what, third team since 1970 to lose six in a row and go to the playoffs. 8-8. No, it's not perfect. We understand that. It's not perfect. We have a lot of things to get better at, but we can't worry about that. Now what we need to do is worry about everything we can to be the best team we can be on Sunday.
As Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy giving his explanation of what I was explaining just prior to going to the break. Again, they may be the 14th best team in the playoffs, but they earned it because these were the rules that were set up. These were the parameters by which you get into the playoffs, and they earned the 14th spot. You know, would you feel better about it if they were the seventh seed in the NFC and had won against the Packers last Sunday? Of course you would. But that doesn't mean they didn't earn the playoff spot. That just means that they're not as good as Bears fans would like them to be. Matt Nagy, I don't think, put it quite that way, but I think he did give you another spin on let's forget the backed in and the earned it or not stuff and focus on the football game Sunday, because as we know in the NFL, on any given Sunday, anything can happen. And we've got another one of our Bears experts here to talk to us about it. Kevin Fishbane is on the Chicago Bears beat for The Athletic. Read him at theathletic.com. Follow him on Twitter at Kevin Fishbane. Of course, Kevin, I think I can say he got his start with us at Pro Football Weekly. We spent a number of years together. And Kevin, it's good to have you here this evening. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us. I hope the new year is off to a good and a healthy start for you and yours.
Thank you, Hub. You as well. And I like the way you just presented that, because I'm sure you've heard it the past, 48, 72 hours from Bears fans who are very unhappy about a playoff team.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, I know that there is a segment of Bears Nation that is just unhappy, period, and they just want change. And that may or may not be coming after the season. But I mean, if I was a Washington fan, I wouldn't care that they were 7-9. If there was a 6-10 playoff team, I wouldn't think they were very good, but I'd be glad that the team that I like is playing Sunday. And that's why I struggle a little bit with all the naysayers out there, trying to make the point that they somehow don't deserve it.
Yeah, and I think it's totally okay to look at it from both sides too, Hub. I mean, it's okay to say, hey, this team should have been better. This does not mean that the Bears should not make any changes. But hey, they were at the bottom, a month or a little over a month ago, and they found a way to get into the playoffs, and they get a chance to play on Sunday. And all these people are going to be watching the game and rooting for their team, you would think, to win. You can have the conversation about what needs to change in the future while still appreciating and I think too, Hub, I would hope, for the sake of the players and the coaches and the staff members of the organization, everything that they've gone through this year. I mean, look, everybody in this country, everybody's gone through a tough time. But for all those guys that, every day they're getting tested every day, they're isolated from their families, they're isolated from each other, for them to, have lost six in a row and then to go through all that and then find a way into the playoffs, it's an accomplishment for them, and it doesn't have to be an overall accomplishment for the long-term state of the franchise.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin, I think what bothers me the most about it is the circular logic of the whole thing, if you will, because I think what a lot of these negative fans are concerned about is, boy, what if they beat the Saints? Then there's less chance they're going to make change. Why don't they understand that if they beat the Saints, there's less need to make change? I mean, you know, it's you go play the games and then you react to them, you know, with whatever happens from them. And if, in fact, the Bears were or are considering changes at GM or coach, I don't think they are. But if they were, you know, the fact that they couldn't beat the Packers Sunday, and if they don't come out and compete and give a good showing of themselves against the Saints Sunday, then those changes will occur. But what this suggests is you measure yourself against your competition, and this team is just simply not as much in need of change as the other, you know, 18 teams that didn't do enough to get into the playoffs.
You're right. And Hub, you've covered throughout the NFL plenty of GM searches and head coach searches. You and I covered the Bears search together a few years ago. You know, and you're seeing all these GM interviews, and they're all quality candidates, but nobody knows if any of these guys are going to be the one. Nobody knows if any of these GM candidates are going to be the answer. So, you know, I kind of introduced that for the people that just want to burn it down and start over and reset and get a new GM and get a new head coach. Well, who's to say that, you know, the next ones are going to be better? And I'm not saying it's necessarily the right way of thinking. You know, you don't want to settle. You want to always strive for improvement. But Hub, you go through the players that got the Bears to this point. You look at Dave Montgomery and Roquan Smith and Bilal Nichols, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson. You know, these are draft picks of the past few years, you know, from this GM. And you can see if you know, you look at Atlanta and Houston and Detroit and you read off all the list of accomplishments of the personnel directors that they're interviewing, and you think, and those or the fan bases, those organizations will probably be excited about whoever they hire, but nobody knows if those guys are going to make the right draft picks or make the right free agent signings or make the right head coach hires. A lot of this is, it's very calculated. They put a lot of resources into it, but it's a crapshoot, and the Bears have found their way through this crapshoot without a great quarterback to make the playoffs 2 times in 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Kevin, I've run businesses for over 40 years, and I don't know how many hundreds of people hired, and unfortunately, we didn't do much firing. People would leave to move on to better jobs, but on the occasions where I did, I always had one cardinal rule. I never fired anybody unless I was completely confident that I could find somebody better. And I don't know what gives all of the doubters this confidence that just by firing Matt Nagy or firing Ryan Pace that the Bears get better. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not the best way to make these decisions, and we'll see what happens. I don't think anything is going to happen. I think it'll be an interesting off season. They will definitely, both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, assuming they're back, be on the hot seat going into next year, because you don't want to follow a breakout 12-4 season with 2 years of 8-8 mediocrity. But I do think they get one more chance. So let's focus on what they need to do better. And as you look at this game with the Saints Sunday, that's the other thing I keep laughing about, is that I've had these people call, oh, why even bother playing the game? They got no chance. You know, they played 9 weeks ago, and it was almost a dead heat, you know? And so, I know, you know, there was no Michael Thomas, there was no Emmanuel Sanders. The Bears were missing a couple guys too. And that is a factor. The Bears deserve to be 10-point underdogs, but the idea that they don't fit with the Saints or they shouldn't go down there and play the game, I don't know how you make that argument if you watched them play 9 weeks ago.
Yeah, Hub, I always think back to that third and long to Alvin Kamara right before halftime. You know, he broke a few tackles, create a fourth and one. You know, the Saints are down 10. They get it and eventually get what turned out to be an easy touchdown and a defensive breakdown. But at that point, if somebody tackles Kamara, you know, at any point before he gets to 1 yard short of the sticks, the Bears head into halftime with a 10-point lead with Nick Foles at quarterback. I mean, that you go back, the offense had one of its better games. That probably was the offense's best game with Nick Foles at quarterback. He had the 38-yard run from Dave Montgomery. Allen Robinson was superb that afternoon. Anthony Miller, that might have been his best game of the season. And, you know, you look at the way the Saints' corners are. They're obviously aggressive players, but you know, those guys with good route running, they can get beat, and that's where you can count on Robinson and Miller. So I'm very interested to see how the Bears match up. And, you know, the one thing, Hub, I also keep coming to is, does this defense have a 2018 performance in them, right? Like, you know, because I feel like that I was looking to see if that was going to happen on Sunday against Aaron Rodgers. It obviously didn't happen. And maybe we've waited too long and we just have to come to terms that it's just not happening. It's a different defense. These guys are older. It's a different coordinator. It's just never going to happen. But, you know, Khalil Mack is still Khalil Mack. And I just wonder, you know, if that's their way to try to upset the Saints, is if they can have the game that you would think a lot of those guys on the defensive side of the ball are capable of having.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kevin, they are older, but they're not old, you know, and there's no way that this defense should be done, so to speak. I do think that Vic Fangio is probably the best defensive coach in football, and while Chuck Pagano, I think, is very good and has done a good job, he's not Vic. I think that's probably the biggest difference that you have here. And then, you know, beyond that, you just wonder about injuries, who's playing hurt. I'm convinced Khalil Mack has been playing hurt for 8 weeks now. He's on the injury list with multiple injuries every week. I'm reasonably convinced that Robert Quinn's been playing on a bum ankle all year long, and so that's not likely to change Sunday, but it does explain some of this. And so there's no question that the Bears have a chance Sunday. There's also no question that they deserve to be, you know, 10-point or 9-point underdogs, whatever it may be. It would be a huge upset. But hey, Bears fans, let's get ready to enjoy the game. I think the bigger questions right now, Kevin, is that, or not questions, but issues, is that those chances are diminished greatly if they're without Darnell Mooney on offense and Roquan Smith on defense. We have no new information on that, won't get new information until after practice tomorrow. But the way they went down, at the points that they went down, and their inability to return does not seem to bode real well for the possibility that either one of those guys will be able to go.
Yeah, you're right, Hub. And it'd be really unfortunate for both of them if they can't play, because you think about how sensational Roquan Smith has been this year. And then you add on to the fact that he's one of, what, 4 or 5 linebackers in the league that could be a decent matchup for Alvin Kamara. I mean, you draft Roquan Smith for a game like this, for an opponent like this. And then Darnell Mooney, I mean, he's having his best game of the season, of his career, on Sunday against Green Bay. And I think you saw what, you know, we all knew about the speed, Hub, but I've just been so impressed with his ability to break tackles. He catches the ball at the line of scrimmage, and somehow he's 5-8 yards down the field. You know, he just won't go down easy. He doesn't try to run out of bounds. He fights through, and, you know, unfortunately, he kind of fought one tackle too hard, I guess, and hurt that ankle. So, you know, we'll see what's going on tomorrow. I guess, you know, maybe it's somewhat good news that we haven't, you know, nothing is leaked yet about either of them, you know, needing surgery. Doesn't mean it's not coming at some point, but we haven't heard anything yet, and it's already Tuesday night. So maybe there's some hope there that they can find a way to get them back. But those are some big losses. I do wonder with Mooney, does that open up a door? This could be Anthony Miller's opportunity, right? You know, he's really fallen off the past 4 or 5 weeks. You know, does that kind of open, give him the chance to, you know, again, give another shot to show what he's capable of?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Anthony Miller has proven he can be a serious weapon when he is focused and when the Bears are targeting him. Unfortunately, the consistency to do that week in and week out just hasn't been there. And I think the other concern going in, Kev, is that Jair Alexander's good. He's not that good. I think that hamstring was bothering Allen Robinson on Sunday, and we don't know how healthy he is either. Now, you know, none of this is excuses. I mean, injuries are part of the game, but we're just trying to figure out at this point how they shape up going in. And it's really the first time all year that I look at a matchup like this where multiple injuries have to leave you concerned about their ability to go out and play their best game on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and, you know, you think about the defense. I mean, the drop-off from Roquan Smith to Josh Woods might be one of the biggest drop-offs on the team from starter to backup, especially because, you know, you just can't ask Danny Trevathan to do some of the things that Roquan Smith does for you at this point in his career. And you said, with wide receiver, you can maybe feel comfortable and intrigued by the Anthony Miller, but he's not the blocker Darnell Mooney is. And as you said, he's been inconsistent. You know, I keep coming back to David Montgomery, Hub, and just wondering. I know it's a great Saints run defense, but he got that 38-yarder off against them. It was his best rushing performance with Nick Foles at quarterback when he played them. He's obviously had a really good final month. You know, the Packers stopped him probably more than they were hoping on Sunday. But I just keep going back to Montgomery and wondering, you know, he has been such a tough runner. He's been really good catching passes out of the backfield and breaking tackles that, you know, you think about the recipe for the upset. I heard you talking about it last segment about, you know, the game plan they had for the Packers. Like, it makes sense. And you would think that a similar game plan of run the ball, work clock, you know, just continue to move the sticks and convert in the red zone, which they only did the one time. I think so much of this comes down to Montgomery, because I, you know, as much as you'd like to see Mr. Trubisky, you know, quiet the doubters and have a great game, he just hasn't done it in his career in these kind of situations. And maybe this just gives him more reason to try to lay down Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of their chances Sunday rely on a similar game plan to what they had versus the Packers. They need the defense and the run game to win this game, even if it's not the conventional way that NFL teams are building these days. But I absolutely think it's key for them against the Saints on Sunday. I got to ask you another question, Kevin. I was asked this earlier on the Parkin show. I think it was actually Spiegs, Matt Spiegel, who asked me, and I should have been ready for it. And I hadn't really thought it through. And having thought it through, I still don't have a great answer. So I'm curious what your take is on it. What's happened to Eddie Jackson? I mean, the bottom line is he hasn't resembled Eddie Jackson for 17 weeks now. And I can't really put my finger on that. To my knowledge, he has not been on the injury list at all or more than once or twice. And he's not the player he was the last two seasons.
No, he's not, Hub, and it's a great question. And you know, we had our podcast today. We were talking about the same question. We're just all trying to figure this out, because the thing about Eddie Jackson is, you know, you don't lose instincts, right? You know, you would think that a player who, you know, Vic Fangio lauded the way that Eddie Jackson just had a nose to the ball, just the things that you're kind of born with and you can't teach. I almost wonder if one of those pick sixes counts that he had earlier in the season. You know, how much does that change? Did that just add some kind of mental roadblock for him? Where now when the ball does come near him, he's like, all right, this is, I have to get this one. There's just something going on that he's just not all the way there. And he's just, you know, maybe he's just being too hard on himself. Obviously, we've seen the high profile, I should say, missed tackles. You know, and again, look, you don't pay Eddie Jackson to be a run stuffer for you. It's why you brought in Deshaun Gibson. I thought Jackson was okay last year in the box. I thought he was better than people thought when put in that position. But it's a great question, Hub. It is really confounding. You know, you wonder. We talked earlier about Chuck Pagano. You wonder about scheme. Is Jackson being put in the right spot? We know earlier in the season quarterbacks were avoiding him. Are they still doing that? It's kind of, sometimes it can be hard to tell with a safety where he moves around. But it is a serious thing for the Bears to consider when you think about how much they're paying him, how important he is to the future of the franchise. But I just can't get over the idea that he just lost his instincts, that he just lost his nose for the ball. Because that's the kind of skill, that's the kind of trait that you would hope that somebody. You know, you can maybe lose some physical things, but that should still be there, you would hope.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can come up with is, and I've seen this happen with other great players, unfortunately it is curable, is and I'm not accusing him of anything, but the only thing that makes any sense to me is that what was the one dramatic change? Well, he got paid. And you know, I don't think he is consciously relaxing now that he's got, you know, millions in the bank. But we've seen this many, many times where, you know, these guys somehow get themselves to that, they get themselves honed to that point where they're playing on the razor's edge, so to speak. And sometimes with the great ones, you can't even explain how they get to that point. And then it subconsciously, you know, you relax a little bit. You know, you're a multimillionaire. It happens. You know, some guys play better after they get paid. Some guys will have an off year but still bounce back. Other guys never bounce back. They get paid and that's the end. I think Eddie Jackson is good enough, and I think he's a leader. I think he's a solid, you know, contributor. I don't think there's anything intentional about it. I do expect him to bounce back, but that's really the only explanation I can come up with.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of people point out, not as eloquently as you, Hub, because, you know, fans just kind of say, oh, he got paid, so he doesn't care. And I think you and I both know it's not as simple as that. You know, we've never heard anything about Eddie Jackson's work ethic. As you said, he's known as a great leader. He's the one that was trying to rally the troops after that Detroit Lions loss. You know, another thing too, if you're looking at kind of the mental side, because we all know the physical abilities are there. He didn't get a Pro Bowl nod this year, and he shouldn't have. You know, it wasn't deserving. He got one last year, and a lot of people were kind of confused by that because he didn't necessarily put up the production numbers, but you know, coverage wise, analytically, he was in the right spot. You know, maybe that could be a motivating factor. It's like, okay, wait a second. You know, the league is now telling me that I have fallen off, that I've dropped back. Maybe that could be motivation as he gets ready for next season. Because, you know, again, this is just one of those guys that you would love to be able to continue to build around him. That secondary hub is going to be a question mark. You don't know about the future for Kyle Fuller and Buster Skrine when you think about their contracts. Deshaun Gibson was a one-year deal, and you have no young safeties in the pipeline. You know, you're kind of building this group relying on the fact that you're going to have Eddie Jackson be the leader and be the playmaker back there. So it's really important for the Bears for him to kind of get back to those ways that we saw in his first two seasons.
Yeah, I think whatever their cap issues, they're a lot more likely to extend Kyle Fuller than to let him go. As far as the rest of it, you're absolutely right. You know, you got to love Jalen Johnson's performance as a rookie, but with this shoulder and knowing he comes out of Utah with two shoulder surgeries already under his belt, you don't know where you're at there either. And we're told he is day-to-day. That's an injury I didn't even mention as far as getting ready for Sunday. And they will have Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders this week. And so you want all hands on deck. You saw what can happen against the Packers Sunday with Kendall Vildor and Duke Shelley. And I'm not saying they're bad football players, but they weren't up to the test on Sunday. And so you'd love to be able to get Johnson Skrine back if you can. Kevin, I've kept you overtime, and I really appreciate it. I appreciate you taking time out for us this evening. Everybody, again, Kevin Fishbane at theathletic.com. Follow him on Twitter at Kevin Fishbane. I know Kevin pops up here at the Score fairly regularly as well. Thank you much for joining us this evening, Kevin. I'll see you on Zoom tomorrow.
All right. Good. Thanks, Hub.
That is Kevin Fishbane. We need to take a quick commercial break here. We got about a 40-45 minute window for nothing but your phone calls and texts now. So give me a call at 312-644-6767. Let me hear what you think about where this Bears team is at. Do they need change? Should they make change? Do they have a chance Sunday? Are they going to pull the upset Sunday? Let me know what's on your mind as far as the Bears, the NFL playoffs, anything in the world of sports. Again, 312-644-6767. Call or text at that number. We're back in just a moment at the Score.
My conversations that I have, you know, with George and with Ted and with Ryan, we stay in constant communication. And that's where they're at right now. I haven't got into any discussions with that, which for us right now, where we're at, that's not a focus. I can tell you that right now, that we are so focused in on, we were trying like heck to do everything we could to have a chance to get into the dance in the playoffs. And our players and our coaches did that.
Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy was asked yesterday if he has had any assurances from ownership, from management, that he would be back as the head coach of the Chicago Bears, and that was his response. I think it is worth noting, guys, I don't think they're even talking about it up at Halas Hall. So for those of you who are still determined to have GMs and coaches fired, not saying it can't happen or won't happen, but it just doesn't seem very likely at this point. I'm Hub Arkish, and for Joe Ostrowski on the Joe O Show tonight, going to be with you until 9:15. We will hand it off to pregame for Bulls basketball then. You will hear the Bulls game right here at 670 The Score, as you do every Chicago Bulls game. Until then, we are talking sports, talking NFL wildcard week, talking Chicago Bears football. Take your calls on any subject you would like. Mike Rankin is producing and engineering tonight. He will be the friendly voice on the other end of the phone when you give us a call at 312-644-6767 to join the show. And we are going to go out right now to Beverly and welcome G into the show. G, how you doing?
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I got a question for you. I know you watch a lot of film. I watch a little bit, but I'm sure you watch way more than me. One of the things that kind of irks me or bothers me is that the Bears seem to run these pass patterns where they have like one guy at the line, maybe one guy 7 feet in back of him and then another guy behind him. And they always seem to get bunched up a lot. And in the end zone, I've seen a couple of examples of where Kmet and Robinson were 2 feet apart. Kmet and 81 was 2 feet apart. And then in the last game, Miller and Robinson, when the guy missed the interception through his leg, they were like 2 feet apart. What is wrong with this formation? Is it the defense forcing them closer? Or are they just panicking? Or what exactly is happening in these formations?
Well, G, thank you for the phone call. And I should mention that G joins us on the Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. And, you know, G, I at the end of the day, all 32 NFL teams run the same route trees. You know, it's a question of how you mix and match your receivers, you know, within certain play designs and play calls. But the routes are really all the same. And more often than not, when you see two receivers too close together, that's because one of them got the call wrong. That's because one of them ran the wrong route. There are no situations where Matt Nagy or passing game coordinator Dave Ragone are designing plays to have receivers on top of each other like that. Now, sometimes it's because one of the receivers or possibly even both, ran the wrong route, missed the call, missed a sight adjustment, whatever it may be. But also, more often than not, it's occurring when plays are being extended, when the quarterback is getting flushed, when he's held the ball too long, when receivers are now starting to improvise and try and come back and help a quarterback who may be in trouble and may be looking for a place to unload the football. So in this particular case, I don't think it's as common as you're suggesting. I've seen it. I know what you're talking about. And it clearly happened on the interception that Mitch threw late in the Minnesota game that they got away with, actually, that almost cost him the game. That was a situation where J.P. Holtz was in because you had Demetrius Harris injured, and Holtz had not practiced the play all week and ran the wrong route. He wasn't supposed to be there, you know. And I think that, you know, there was a suggestion that on the failed fourth and one with 11 minutes to play, that was clearly the turning point of the Packers game Sunday, that part of the problem with that play is that Jimmy Graham may have run the wrong route, that it was designed to Robinson, but Graham had ended up about 5 yards behind him and brought two defenders with him and created all that congestion in there. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that's one that you can hang on coaching or play design or play calling. Those are mistakes that occur during NFL games, and even the best make them every once in a while. Have the Bears made more than most? I don't know that I would say that, but I've seen what you're talking about, and I do understand why you would ask the question. So thank you very much for the phone call. Let's get out to Lockport now, home of, I believe, Ron Coomer, and also, I don't know if it's his home, but it's where Peter is calling from. Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and I know Ron Coomer real well, too.
Coombs is the best, isn't he, Pete?
He's my whole family knows him. My oldest daughter kind of grew up with his group, and I know a lot about that situation. I also am a very old Bears fan. I've known the coach since I was about 10. I had a big fling with the coach and Mr. Buffone, and my question, I haven't been this excited about a player in a very long time. I'm interested in Montgomery and what you guys think he's going to bring next year. I have a very special feeling about him. I'd like to see a little more training, a little more working out. But I'd like to know what you guys think about him next year. And I believe they should have ran him into the ground this year. As you guys know, they get stronger at the end of the game. But what do you think he's going to be like next year?
Well, Pete, I think off of what we've seen this year and where he's at and the tremendous improvement he showed from his rookie year to this season and now the production, I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who finishes – 247 carries, it's not a ton by NFL standards, but in today's NFL, where we see so many two-back tandems, it's not that unusual for a top back to only get the 240, 250 carries. 1,070 yards, 4.3 average, 8 touchdowns. I think that's the most important point. 6 straight games with 8 touchdowns then, and then 2 more touchdowns on 54 catches for 438 yards. He is playing the game right now the way that, Alvin Kamara plays the game, the way that Christian McCaffrey plays the game. He's become really the Bears' number 2 or number 3 receiving option in addition to being their lead running back. And I agree with you. I would have liked to have seen him treated more like the number 1 earlier in the season. I thought there were too many games where, A, they weren't running the ball enough, and, B, when they were running the ball, they weren't giving it to him enough. I love Cordarrelle Patterson as a change of pace back. We have to remember that hopefully Tariq Cohen will be back at 100% next year off the ACL as well. And so I don't know that when you say run him into the ground, I don't know that he's going to get that many more touches than what he's got this year with 300 touches, which is plenty. But he has shown that he can do a ton with them. And I think that next year, year 3 with running backs, it could be the breakout campaign. Now, the half-life on running backs in the NFL these days isn't more than 5, 6, 7 years where they can play at their peak. But I think going into next season, he is going to be a very popular high draft pick, possibly even a first-round pick for fantasy football folks. And I think that, now that the Bears understand what they have with him, and assuming that it's this coaching staff, again, that is designing the offense and making those decisions, he'll go into the season with a possibility of being a Pro Bowl-type running back. That's the way he's played the last 5, 6, 7 weeks. So I agree with you. Worth being very, very excited about. And looking forward to see if there is another gear. I think there is, and we'll find out, once we see what else happens with this team in terms of changes or no changes in terms of the coaches, the offensive line, the game plan, etc. We are going to take a very quick commercial break here, but when we get back, more of your calls, more in your texts. Dial us up at 312-644-6767. We're talking NFL wildcard week. We're talking sports at Chicago's number one rated all sports radio station, 670 The Score.
Hallmarkish on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Welcome back, everybody. It is great to be with you tonight. My thanks to Joe Ostrowski for allowing me to sit in his chair this evening. It is the Joe O Show. Joe will be back with you as soon as we do not have coaches' shows, Bulls basketball, whatever it may be. I have not looked at the schedule for tomorrow night, but I know Joe O will be back. I have the pleasure of getting to visit with you this evening until 9:15, when we will hand it off to Bulls basketball. So if you want to get the Bulls game tonight, this is the place to do it. Home of the Chicago Bulls, as well as the Chicago Cubs and the best sports talk in town. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. Mike Rankin is with me. Michael is producing, engineering, spinning the dials. He's behind the glass in the studio. He's the guy who's picking up the phone when you guys are dialing us up on the BetQL Score listener line. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's go back to the BetQL listener line and welcome Steve, who's out in Darien, into the program. Steve, thanks for dialing us up tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I've been listening to your station. I listened to your interview with that reporter. Can we stop this nonsense about the Bears making the playoffs to the last 3 years? The only reason they're in this year is because the NFL changed the rules. It's a false equivalency. It's not really reasoning. It's not really, in my opinion, it's yellow journalism, perhaps, an example.
Whoa, Steve, time out. In this world of yellow journalism, how is reporting the facts yellow journalism? They are in the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years. There's no question about that. There's no disputing it. There's no debate. They're in the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years.
It's by implication suggesting success.
No, it's not. It's not. It's stating a fact. They're in the playoffs, period. Nobody's called the Bears a great playoff team, a good football team, predicted that they're going to win. They're in the playoffs. It's that simple. Listen, there's a lot of things we can debate, but you cannot debate the fact that the Bears are in the playoffs two out of three seasons. That's just the reality of it.
I can debate the fact that people point to that for a reason of success, and my next point is a reason for keeping pace. Because if you're pointing to the fact that they made the playoffs the last three years, that's a false equivalency. You can't compare that to the prior times when they only had six teams in the playoffs versus previous general managers. That's a false equivalency. And if you want justification for firing Pace, they went 1-6 against winning teams. And this is year three of his quarterback, of his head coach. The two most important things the NFL general managers pick are head coaches and quarterbacks. This is year three. They go 1-6 against winning teams. Are they trying to get to the Super Bowl? Do they not think they're going to face winning teams on their way to the Super Bowl? What is the goal?
Steve, listen, man, I appreciate the phone call. Let me ask you one more question. I've been on since 6. I don't know if you've heard the whole show. Have you heard anybody since 6 o'clock on this station suggest that the Bears should either hire or fire anybody because they're in the playoffs two of the last 3 years?
No, you haven't.
I get, again, it's where people are going. But the only point I know that I've tried to make and that frustrates me is people need to stop trying to make it something negative that the Bears are in the playoffs. There's nothing negative about it. They followed the rules. They earned the 7th spot. They're in the playoffs. Now, is that justification, as you're trying to suggest, for, you know, saying that let's just pick Ryan Pace and say he did a good job? No, that's not one of the points I would make, because I agree that being an 8-8 playoff team isn't all that impressive, but we don't get to accuse them of somehow cheating to get in or not deserving to be in. They do deserve to be in. These are the rules that were made. They just followed them. So I understand what you're trying to say, but it's not the conversation that we've been having, at least this evening so far. If somebody else is suggesting that because they're in the playoffs this year, that in itself is a reason not to make changes, then I can debate them and argue that point and say that that's not a good enough reason. So I do get where you're coming from. But at some point, the negativity becomes annoying, because right now I think all focus should be on the fact that they are in the playoffs. They do deserve to be in the playoffs. Let's look forward to the game on Sunday and let's see what happens. And then afterwards, we can analyze what the ramifications should be if they do get beat and if they play like a team that didn't belong there. Let's go out to Kenosha and welcome Phil into the program. Phil, how you doing?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me. I have a question for you, and off of an observation. I've been watching the Bears my whole life, and it seems to me this year, I want to find out from you, why our defensive secondary always seems to have the not what I call lockdown coverage on the different receivers. And I'll talk about specifically Green Bay. It seems to me that even with the bad teams that we've been playing, it always seems that the quarterbacks have a larger window to get a completion to a receiver against our secondary than Mitch has to throw to our receivers. It seems like every time I watch him throw a pass, our receivers are locked down. But when I watch guys like Rodgers and some of the other quarterbacks, even Glennon to some degree when he was playing against the Bears, our secondary guys just aren't locking down on these receivers. Why does it seem to me that the receivers on the other teams are much more open against us than, for example, and other defensive backs seem to lock down on our guys? Why can't we get our guys open, and how come we can't cover anybody? Am I wrong on that?
Well, I don't think you're wrong, but I think it's a question of what your sample size is and how much tape you're watching. I can tell you the one question you asked is, why does it seem like Mitch is always throwing to guys who are locked down or covered? A big part of that is because Mitch holds the ball too long. That's been one of the big issues with Mitch's ability to play Matt Nagy's offense, is reading the field, knowing what he's seeing, and getting rid of the ball on time. And so, no, your eyes are not playing tricks on you. Bears receivers do appear to be covered a little tighter than possibly the opposition as often as not, if not more often as not. But a lot of that is because Mitch is holding the ball too long. That said, in Chuck Pagano's defense, he doesn't like to blitz. He doesn't like to play a lot of man. A lot of this is the theory of, we want to force teams to put together 8, 10, 12, 14 play drives, get down the field, because it increases the options, or the opportunities for something to go wrong. He has not had the pressure
that the Bears had in 2018 when Khalil Mack first got here, and even last year, the first half of the season. That also forces defensive backs to be a little more careful, to play off a little bit more because they know they're going to have to cover longer. So it is it's a number of factors, but a lot of it is just the design of the defense. And when you compare it to what the Bears receivers look like against other secondaries, a lot of that is because A, either the ball isn't coming out soon enough, or sometimes the ball is coming out too quick because there's been so much pressure in the faces of both Foles and Trubisky, and the receivers didn't get a chance to separate. So that may be some of what you were seeing as well. Let's get one more in before we have to get to another break. Casey is up in Waukegan. Casey, I appreciate you calling. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, thank you.
Hey, listen. I had the Bears to be 8-8 this year. Let me tell you my position on that. When Eddie Golden went out, to me, that was a big part of the defense because he put a whole lot of pressure on the quarterback. But then when Coins went out, it really was 8-8. So they are right where I figured they'd be for the season.
Mm-hmm. You know, Casey, it's interesting that you make that point, and thank you for the phone call, because I talked about this, I think it was last week. If folks want to go back and look at all of the preseason analysis and where everybody was picking the Bears and what a lot of these supposedly smart football people were saying, almost everybody had them somewhere between 7-9 and 9-7. And so at 8-8, they're pretty much exactly who we thought they were coming into the season. I know that my take, I wrote it, so it's living somewhere. If people want to go back and see it, is that I saw them as somewhere between 7-9 and 9-7, and with a few breaks and really great luck on the injury front, maybe they win 10 games. Maybe they're a wild card team. With bad luck, they could be as bad as 6-10. I haven't found anything all that shocking about who they've turned out to be this year, based on not only where they finished last year and my evaluation of the roster and the talent, but also all the extenuating circumstances. I think fans, and it's funny because we've all lived the same thing. And when we see what's going on in our own personal lives, with our own work situations, with our own social situations, with our own being locked down at home because of the pandemic, and the horrible things that folks who have actually have had the virus, there's nothing surprising about this. And yet you have fans who want to win the Super Bowl every year, and I understand that. That should be the goal every year, who are really being overly critical, and I think in some cases unfairly critical about what's happened with this football team. When you evaluate what Casey is saying, is that for the most part, this is who they are. And so if you want to be mad at them for not being better than or something other than who they are, that's fine. But that's not really analyzing the team or the sport or the game. And so the question should be, what do they have to do now to take another step forward next year? And I think we all start with the hopes that by the time we get to July and August of next year, that this pandemic will be under control and that it will be a much more normal season. Actually, I think you hope for that by the spring so that they can have an off season, which they didn't have last year. I asked this question week 5, week 6, week 7, and nobody had an answer for me. But when you realize where Mitch Trubisky was at the end of last season, and the Bears saying, we've got to have competition, we're bringing in competition, we're going to do it all off season. And then there was no offseason. There was no offseason workout program. There was no OTAs. There was no mini camp. There was no practice of any kind. And then even in training camp, it was half of what you might normally expect. Why did anybody expect Mitch to get better? What was supposed to have happened during the offseason that was going to make him better? Nick Foles didn't meet his teammates until he got to training camp. Didn't even know these guys. And so why was anybody so surprised when he struggled the way that he did? And so, no, I know it doesn't make anybody happy, but there's nothing surprising about what's happened with this football team this year. And I don't think, based on everything that they've gone through this year, that anything has happened to firmly establish one way or the other that it would be a good idea to change the GM or change the head coach. Not saying it would necessarily be bad if you can find a better talent, but what gives Bears fans sudden great confidence that after hiring these guys, that the next guys they hire are going to be better? So, you know, Casey, Eddie Goldman was a huge loss. You are absolutely correct. Tariq Cohn, a very big loss. It's not an excuse. Everybody has injuries. But based on who this team was and then what's transpired over the course of the year, I don't think that necessarily we had any right to expect any more than 8-8 and a surprise playoff berth, which they've got. And they can certainly rewrite the narrative if they can go into New Orleans and pull the upset. So that's why I prefer if everybody just kind of started to get excited. You got a playoff game Sunday. You're in it. They deserve to be in it. Whether they're good enough to compete and win it, that remains to be seen. But hey, we got one more. Let's look forward to it. Let's have some fun with it. Let's find a way to be positive about some of this. And then after that game, if they win, you got another one. If they lose, then is the time to start figuring out, quote, all that's wrong with the Chicago Bears. We're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, my buddy Eric Edholm is going to stop by. Eric does an incredible job for YahooSports.com. He is their draft expert, also a national NFL eye in the sky. We're going to talk to Eric about wildcard weekend and get a little bit of a preview about what some of these quarterbacks coming out of college might look at, as well as left tackles and other positions of need for the Chicago Bears. That's all right ahead here at 670 The Score.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.